Dear Father, we are so grateful to be able to spend a weekend celebrating the health message that you have entrusted to us as a church, but not for ourselves, not just for ourselves, but so that we could showcase that to the world. So I pray that you send an extra portion of your Holy Spirit today to be with Dr. Leon as he shares with us this valuable information on how to prevent cancer, Lord. But not just cancer, how to prevent many chronic diseases. And so we pray, Lord, that this message can be incorporated into our lives as we listen to it, that we could also be willing to share it with others so that through that sharing, they may also be able to better appreciate your gospel message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good afternoon. Thank you to Wes, my friend. Let's talk about preventing cancer. How many of you have had or know a close family member that have had cancer? Yes. All right. It's very, very common, isn't it? So I want to learn a little bit today. What are the biblical principles and what are some of the principles of the health message to help us prevent cancer? First of all, there is no question. You can see cancer rates are on the rise. If you look over here, this is 1975. You see how low the cancer rate was here in the United States. And you see the dramatic increase in the 90s. And we have remained very high into the 2000s with the incidence of cancer in the United States. And some people say, well, is that because of the chemicals and the water that we're drinking and the food? No, it has to do with our lifestyle. Our lifestyle has become such that it is promoting the increased chance of cancer. One out of every two men will get cancer, 50%. One out of every three women in the United States will get cancer. One out of every four deaths in this country is related to a form of cancer. You can see up here, this is the incidence of death from cardiovascular disease every year in the United States. And you can see that cancer is easily number two, very close to being the number one cause of death in the United States, very close to cardiovascular disease. That's a big change from 30, 40 years ago. In fact, cancer has surpassed heart disease as the number one cause of death in people under age 85. So it's a dramatic increase, and people are asking why. Early cancer detection can save lives. So everybody knows, hopefully, that the doctor needs to do certain things to help find cancers in the early stage. For females, a pelvic exam, a pap smear, a breast examination, and mammography and ultrasonography are recommended to help prevent and to find cancers in an early stage. Ooh, the male slide was left out, but a PSA for males and a colonoscopy are recommended for both females and males. Sorry, and here we have, what is cancer? Cancer is the replication of a cell without control. So I put there DNA that's out of control. So you know the DNA is the genetic material in your cells. And when you divide a cell, the DNA divides. When that process gets out of control, the cell can mutate and become a mutant cell. And those mutant cells are cancer cells that can take over the whole organ. So for example, if you have a liver and all your cells are dividing normally and they're all fine, no problem. But if a mutant cell begins to divide, that mutant cell will grow and take over the whole organ, and it will destroy the organ. That is a cancer. When we have a cell that is the mutant and multiplying out of control. What causes DNA to mutate? Here are some of the various causes. Virus infections, toxins, oxidative stress. Another word for this is inflammation, radiation, failure of immune surveillance from the immune system, failure of DNA repair. We're going a little bit fast, but we can answer questions at the end. Formation of free radicals are very bad for our DNA. Free radicals damage our DNA, and that damage leads to cancer. So these are some of the things that can damage our DNA. The UV light from the sun can damage our DNA. Air pollution can damage our DNA. Radiation damages our DNA. Byproducts of smoking, the byproducts of nicotine and other substances can damage our DNA. Metabolism, the metabolism that goes on in our body can produce impurities that can damage our DNA. And this is a big one, inflammation. Whenever you have chronic inflammation in an organ, you are setting your organ up for cancer. Whether that's in the esophagus, whether that's in the colon, or in others. So chronic inflammation is another cause of DNA damage that can lead to cancer. But fortunately, God is wise. God gave us an immune system, isn't that right? And the immune system protects us not only from viruses, bacteria, and parasites, it protects us from cancer cells. The immune system eats up cancer cells and eliminates them from the body. That's a good thing. And here you can see the various immune organs that we have. You know, the tonsils and the adenoids are part of the immune system. The thymus, which is near the thyroid. The spleen. A lot of people didn't know the spleen is an immune organ. We have immune patches in our intestine. The appendix helps us with the immune system. And then we have various lymph nodes. And, of course, our bone marrow produces white cells and red cells and platelet cells. Very good. So the immune system is our defense. And here you can see phagocytes, natural killer cells, T cells, B cells. These are all part of our internal defense against infection and cancer. So the immune system is very important to prevent cancer, not just infection. All right. A healthy immune system prevents cancer. Does anybody know what this structure is, this red thing here? It's red, but we call it white. That's a white blood cell. You've heard, right? You have your white blood cell count. This is a white blood cell. And what is the white blood cell doing? What are these green things? Those are bacterias. And what is that white cell doing? It's eating up those bacterias. That's a good thing. So we want to have a very active and healthy immune system so it can get rid of bacterias. But like I said, it also eats cancerous cells. So very, very important. This is an illustration from a microgram, microscopic electron microscope showing viruses. These are viruses, and they're coming onto the surface of a cell, and they're injecting something into the cell. Do you know what they're injecting into the cell? The viruses inject their genetic material, their DNA or their RNA, into our cells, and they take over our cells, and they mutate our cells. And so this process can cause cancer. Viruses can infect our cells and make them cancerous. These are some examples. Human papillomavirus can cause cervical cancer. Hepatitis virus can cause liver cancer and lymphomas. And Epstein-Barr virus can cause Hodgkin's lymphomas. So very interesting. Virus infections can cause cancer in our body. Fascinating. HIV is another good example. HIV is a virus that destroys our immune system. And people who have HIV have a higher incidence of certain cancers because their immune system is not able to fight off the development or the growth of those cancers. The immune system, unfortunately, declines with age. Increased incidence of illness and inflammatory disease, infections, and cancer begins to occur with age because our immune system declines. So keeping our immune system active and healthy is very important to prevent cancer. But unfortunately, our American Western lifestyle weakens our immune system. I don't believe in evolution, but I thought this was a very funny diagram. The evolution of our destruction, right? We're progressing until we got soda. And then we started digressing. I thought it was funny too. All right. Light drinking. This is alcoholic beverages. Light drinking weakens the immune system. The body's ability to fight bacteria and viruses is reduced by 67% in light drinkers with only 2 drinks. Wow. That's the power of alcohol. It destroys the activity and strength of our immune system. Health people, scientists estimate that 80% of all cancers, what? Preventable. In other words, 80% of cancers mostly due to our lifestyle. That's a powerful number. And it's interesting, you go to third world countries, you don't see the incidence of colon cancer, prostate cancer, and breast cancer that you see here in the United States. You know, and you say, well, it's because they're all dying of infectious disease. No, it's because they're not eating the foods we eat. And they don't ride in cars. They walk. They get exercise. They get sunlight. So it's amazing how in third world countries, you just don't see the cancer. And we'll see some of those statistics later on. Our lifestyle is making us get more cancer. How can we protect ourselves from cancer? Well, that's a good question. Number one, reduce your sugar intake. Whoa, is sugar connected to cancer? If you eat too much sugar, can you get cancer? The answer is yes. You can see here, these are different types of risk for cancer that are connected with sugar or refined carbohydrates. This is really the important graph. This is a test that was done in 1964 by dentists. And what they did is they looked at the number of bacteria eaten by a white blood cell. So you've got one white blood cell. Without the presence of sugar, one white blood cell can kill 14 bacteria. When you add 12 teaspoons of sugar, that same white blood cell can only kill 5.5 bacteria. And if you add 24 teaspoons in a 12-hour period to that white blood cell, its activity is reduced from 14 bacteria killed down to one bacteria. Essentially, sugar makes your white blood cells drunk. They can't function. They can't work. They can't protect us from infection and from cancer. It's a very dramatic effect, sugar in our immunity. So when our immune system is destroyed, we get more cancer. That's the bottom line. Very interesting study. Now, does anybody know how many teaspoons of sugar there is in one can of Coca-Cola? About 10 to 12 teaspoons per can of Coca-Cola. So if you drink one soda, you've reduced your immune system's ability to fight infection in half. And you drink two sodas, your immune system for the next 12 hours is shot. Amazing. The other thing you can do to help prevent cancer is limit our intake of fatty foods. Do fatty foods have anything to do with cancer rates? Well, first of all, I want to tell you that fatty foods can definitely clog up your arteries. This is the aorta of a normal person who doesn't eat pizza. Maybe they live in a third world country. They're eating corn every day. And this is an American eating pizza every Saturday night. Oh, I hear gasps. Doesn't it look like pizza? I call that the pizza artery. That's what happens when we have too much fatty food. That's atherosclerosis. Now, let's go back. Oh, boy. I think it got stuck. Can you go back? Do you think the blood can flow through here nicely? Nice and smooth. Now, how does the blood flow through that? That's right. We can get a heart attack. But high-fat diet also promotes cancer. In fact, increases our chance of cancer by 36%. And a high fiber diet that's low in fat decreases it by 33%. We'll talk about this in more detail. The World Health Organization recently came out with information warning us about the consumption of red meat and cancer. Red meat and processed meat has been linked to various cancers, especially colon cancer. Now, why is red meat causing colon cancer? Well, one of the problems is red meat is very difficult to digest in our GI tract. The meat will often stay there for several days. Now, when you leave meat out on the counter, or you leave food out on the counter, what happens to it? It begins to what? It begins to rot, okay? So if that's sitting in your colon for a long time, what do you think is going to start to happen in your colon? The food begins to rot. When you have something rotting or dying, you have inflammation. So when you have food that sits in your colon for a long time, you get chronic inflammation. And chronic inflammation can lead to what? Cancer. That's probably one of the big reasons that red meat and some of these slower to digest foods, pro-inflammatory foods, increase the chance of cancer because they increase the chance of inflammation. In fact, here you can see various cancers, ovarian, colon, and prostate, and you see the frequency of eating meat. People who never eat meat, people who eat it less than once a week, people who eat it more than once a week. And you can see that ovarian cancer increases by the number of times that people eat meat per week. Same thing with colon cancer. Zero incidence in this study that they did, but the people who were eating once a week or more than once a week had an increase in all three of these cancers, ovarian, colon, and prostate cancer, probably due to some of the inflammation going on. All right. Oh, this is very interesting. Dietary fat and breast cancer deaths. So here you have the rate of death, and here you have total fat intake. And you can see that the more fat you have in your diet, the more chance you have of dying from breast cancer. Do you see that? And who's winning the competition? Who has lots of breast cancer and who eats lots of fat? USA, USA. And now notice here, notice who's winning. Canada, Western Germany. This is old statistics when there was a West Germany. And you see USA. What's the common denominator with all these countries? And look at the ones who don't have breast cancer. Japan, Thailand, Mexico. What's in the diet of these countries that's not in the diet of these countries?
Dairy.
Absolutely. That's a big one. Dairy, but also red meat, but dairy. The dairy-producing countries have a lot more breast cancer. Interesting, isn't it? Yes, very good. fat and prostate cancer. High saturated fat intake triples the risk of dying from prostate cancer. Meat and dairy products are not good. I've had several patients who've had high PSAs, and they've been put on a vegan diet, you know, with low or no dairy products and red meat, and it really helps their PSA. So if you have an issue with a borderline or high PSA, I would highly recommend a diet low in animal product fat. Definitely. Interestingly, even skin cancer can be related to dietary fat. People with a low-fat diet had less precancerous lesions on the skin. And you can see here that a high-fat diet dramatically increased the risk of skin cancer. It's fascinating. This is another interesting statistic. Benzopyrene is a carcinogen that is found in steak. All right. So they have analyzed the amount of benzopyrene in a 2-pound steak, and they found that it's equivalent to the benzopyrene in 600 cigarettes. So you eat charbroiled steak, you know, big 2-pound slab of it, it's like smoking 600 cigarettes. Yes. Estradiol. Now, how does estrogen get into meat and dairy products? Does anybody work in the dairy industry with cows and chickens? In the Hispanic churches that I go to, there's a lot of people that work with that. So what happens is, when the people want to make the chicken or the cow bigger, or they want to make them produce more milk, what do they inject them with? Hormones. Estrogen, hormones, of course. It makes the cows give more milk. It makes them more robust. It makes the chickens give more eggs, right? The problem is the estrogen they inject into the animals ends up where? In the meat and in the milk and the cheese of the animals. So this is very interesting. They checked the, can we go back, Carolina, on that one? That's an interesting, go back to the estradiol, right there, yes. So postmenopausal women with an estradiol level above 9 had a 7-fold higher rate of breast cancer. Wow, that's a lot. All right, so here's a lady with a level above 9 of estrogen. She's at risk 7 times greater for breast cancer. But look at the levels of estrogen in the food. It's interesting, you've got cheese, butter. And now look, this is European Union beef. It doesn't have that much estrogen, but look at U.S. beef. We are definitely using a lot more hormones than they are in Europe. No question. And this is ending up, and it's interesting because, you know, what could estrogen do to a male? If a male has prostate cancer or a precancerous lesion, and you add hormone to it, whether it's testosterone or estrogen, you're going to make it grow. Estrogen and testosterone promote growth. And if a cancer is there, it will make it grow faster. So, ladies, if you have a precancerous lesion in your breast, and you eat food that has estrogen in it, guess what? Your lesion's going to grow what? Faster. Guys, if you have a lesion in your prostate and it's just maybe just sitting there and you eat food with a lot of hormone in it, you're going to make your lesion grow faster. So that's the problem with the hormones. It promotes growth, including the growth of cancerous lesions. A whole grain diet, 50% less cancer. That's a pretty amazing statistic, 50% less cancer. Fiber. Fiber is a very important nutritive substance that helps protect us from cancer. And here you see common sources of fiber. The foods that have the most fiber are over here, sweet potato, lentils, pinto beans, navy beans. You can see Brussels sprouts. Here are some other substances with fiber, not quite as much. Granola has a good amount of fiber. You see here a lot of the legumes are in that list. They're very healthy and very good for us. All right, let's see if we can get this to go. Fiber decreases elimination time and binds toxins. So fiber does two things. When the food passes through our colon, it binds toxins and makes them come out before they can be absorbed and harm our system. And the second thing is it decreases elimination time. Now, that's important for inflammation, right? We said if food gets stuck in here and sits there, it's going to what? It's going to rot and it's going to cause inflammation. So time for digestion. A low-fiber diet, if you eat a lot of fat and you don't eat a lot of fiber, food can take from 3 days to 7 days to pass through your GI tract. 3 to 7 days. The other thing that can slow your digestion down is narcotic pain medicines. So those are all slowing down the transit time of the food through your colon. A high-fiber diet, it takes 24 to 36 hours for food to pass through your colon. So you see, these people are going to have a lot less inflammation in their colon, and they're going to have a lot less what? Cancer of the colon. Does that make sense? So fiber is good to protect us. Antioxidants and cancer. How many of you have heard of antioxidants? Antioxidants are our friends. Now, as a general rule, antioxidants are found in fruits, vegetables, and nuts. and oils, some good, you know, plant oils. Meat and dairy products have zero antioxidants. In fact, they have pro-oxidants. They have things that cause inflammation. So antioxidants and cancer, let's look at this. This is actually very interesting. Antioxidants enhance normal immunity and restore deficient immune system. So the antioxidant boosts our immune system. This is very important. So it can help in the fight against cancer and aging. Oxidation is connected with aging. All right. Oh, let's go back, Carolina, if you can. Sorry. All right. Antioxidants stabilize damaged cells. So here you have a healthy cell. And here you have what we call a free radical. This is a substance that can be caused from UV light, from radiation. And this free radical grabs an electron from the healthy cell to stabilize itself, but that damages the cell. So an antioxidant is a substance that has an extra electron, and it will donate its electron to the free radical, thereby neutralizing the free radical. In other words, it's anti-inflammatory. See? We want to have a lot of these antioxidants to protect our cells from free radical damage. Can diet protect against skin cancer? Rabbits were exposed to ultraviolet light for 24 weeks. One group of rabbits was on a regular diet. The other group of rabbits was on a diet with vitamin C and E. These rabbits got 0% skin cancer even though they were exposed to ultraviolet light. 24% of these rabbits got cancer. What do we learn from that? Vitamin C and E are antioxidants that help protect those rabbits, and they can help protect us. Omega-3 fatty acids. Omega-3 fatty acids are potent antioxidants. They're very good for our immune system. They protect us against cancer and infection. What kind of foods have omega-3? Everybody knows that fish has it, right? But tell me some plant products that have omega-3. Walnuts, flaxseed, chia. Very good. Soy, right? Is another one. Very good. So we don't need fish to get omega-3, but omega-3 is very good. This is the top 10 antioxidant fruits. You want to see them? See which fruits? Number 10, tomato. Number 9, apple. Number 8, banana. Number 7, white grapes. Number 6, grapefruit. Number 5, kiwi fruit. Number 4, red grapes. Number 3, orange. I just want to make a comment about that. You notice that red grapes are better antioxidants than what? White grapes. Now, how many of you have heard that your doctor says that you should drink one glass of red wine every night to protect yourself from heart disease? Have you heard that? Now, is it the alcohol that protects you, or is it the red grapes in the wine that protects you? So I always tell my patients, that's true. So I want you to drink unfermented grape juice, red grape juice every night to protect yourself. The alcohol is going to kill you. And then they say, oh, okay. Because it's not the alcohol that's helping you. It's the flavonoids, yes, from the grapes. Number 2, plum. And what's the number 1 antioxidant fruit? All the berries, blueberry, strawberry, boysenberry. So I got this from Neil Nedley, so maybe watermelon is in there somewhere. All right. How about the vegetables? Top 10 antioxidant vegetables. Number 10. Carolina, can you help us with that one? Sorry. All right. Corn. Number 9. Onions. Number 8. Red bell pepper, beets, number 6, broccoli or broccoli, people from Australia say broccoli, number 5, alfalfa, Brussels sprouts, number 3, spinach, number 2, kale, and number 1, garlic. Wow. Now, you all know what kale is, right? That's what they used to use to decorate the salad bar at Sizzler, but now they make us eat it. My wife makes me eat it. Works good. I don't know if it tastes good, but it works good. Having a little trouble here, Carolina. Maybe you can. Okay, garlic. Oh, garlic is potent. Stimulates the immune system, detoxifies carcinogens, has a direct toxic effect on cancers of the stomach. Let me tell you, garlic kills bacteria. Garlic kills viruses. Garlic probably kills parasites. And if you eat too much of it, it probably kills your friends too. It's very potent. All right, maintaining a healthy weight. Is our weight related to cancer? Very interesting. Caloric restriction not only enhances DNA repair, but also reduces DNA damage. Wow, that's interesting. So low calorie intake is actually associated with less DNA damage, which would give us less cancer. So probably Supersize Me would lead to more cancer, I would suspect. How many of you have seen that documentary? Boy, that's an impressive documentary. Very, very impressive. And old habits die hard. That's true. Pro-inflammatory foods are hard to get rid of. Caffeine. Caffeine stops the repair of damaged DNA, making cancer more likely. 2 or more cups of coffee per day, more than double the risk of ovarian cancer. Caffeine and high-fat diet significantly increases breast cancer risk. Yes, we see that quite a bit. I see a lot of ladies who have a breast lump, and it turns out to be benign. But you ask them about their caffeine intake, and invariably many of them have a high caffeine intake. They stop caffeine, and they stop having these fibromas that come up in their breast tissue. So I have seen that clinically, that caffeine does promote the growth of lumps in the breast, and some of those lumps can end up being cancerous. That's a good question. I'm not sure, you know, it's just teas that have caffeine in them, I guess, that are not good. I don't know the full answer to that. How does that apply to green tea? Does green tea have caffeine? Not all. Oh, doctors do some crazy stuff. Yeah. Got to be careful about doctors, I tell you. If you're not careful, you know, they'll prescribe you like 15 pills and then charge you a big copay too. So you have to be careful. So stop smoking. All right. Stop smoking, of course. This is a big thing that we can do. You know, smoking leads to inflammation in your airways and other parts of your body. So, of course, it's going to be connected to cancer. And these are all the areas that can get cancer from smoking. And a lot of these are related to inflammation, right? The smoke irritates your lungs, your lips, your throat, your voice boxes, where the smoke is passing, right? And the substances are irritating and inflaming, and thus you can get, of course, cancer. Oh, this is incredible. Look, 400,000 people lose their life in the U.S. every year from nicotine. Whoop. Can you go back one? Okay. Every cigarette smoked is 7 minutes off your life. Every pack smoked is 2 hours and 20 minutes off your life. Smokers live an average of 15 years less than non-smokers. Those are amazing statistics. Quitting smoking? Yes, quitting smoking, even if you've smoked for 30 or 40 years, quitting smoking still helps. It decreases the risk of lung cancer, improves lung cancer survival. The longer the time since quitting smoking, the better the survival outcome. It is worth it to quit no matter how old or how young you may be. It's definitely worth it. Anybody know what organ this is? I'll give you a hint. Those are the lungs. Isn't that amazing? That's the lungs of a human being. Notice the color. What color are those lungs? Kind of creamy pink, right? Now, these are the lungs of someone who uses high amounts of nicotine. Now, do you understand why people have smokers cough? The only way to get this out of the lungs is to cough it out. You can't take a medicine. You can't drink water. The only way to get that out of your lungs is to cough. So now you understand. And did you know that people that live in downtown LA can get lungs like this too, just from living in downtown LA? All right, let's go to the next one. Alcohol. It's another common cause of... And of course, what does alcohol cause in our GI tract? Inflammation. All right, so anything that inflames the system can lead to cancer. Oh, let's take a look here. Oh, very good. Alcohol-related cancers, esophageal, mouth, liver, increased colon, rectal, even breast cancer. So alcohol will inflame the system. Now, this is, anybody know what organ this is? The liver, very good. Notice the contour, the color. This is a happy, healthy liver. Now, this is a liver of someone who's had chronic inflammation, otherwise known as cirrhosis. You can see the dramatic effect. This process leads to cancer. So, once again, inflammation. Ah! Ooh, foods with vinegar. All right? Does anybody know what this is here? That's the esophagus of someone who uses a lot of vinegar. What do you see in that esophagus? Inflammation, definitely. And a lot of people tell me, well, I don't really use vinegar. But then I ask them, do you use ketchup? Oh, yeah. Do you use pickles? Do you eat pickles? Oh, yeah. And then when you start talking to them, you find out they're eating a lot of vinegar. So definitely vinegar is very inflammatory. It's also connected with fatty liver. How many of you have heard of fatty liver? What is fatty liver? Fatty liver is basically inflammation in your liver, and it's usually lifestyle related, from sodas that we drink, from chemicals that we put into our body, and from things like vinegar. They can inflame the GI tract, including the liver, and that gives us fatty liver, and that can also lead to other problems. So vinegar is definitely a pro-inflammatory agent that can lead to chronic inflammation, that can lead to cancer. Now, if you don't believe me that vinegar causes inflammation, did you know you can clean pennies by putting them in vinegar? You can go online, and there's recipes to clean pennies. And the recipes are vinegar and baking soda, lemon and salt, ketchup and baking soda, vinegar and salt. Now, if you can clean a penny with vinegar, what do you think that vinegar is doing to your GI tract? All right, Barrett's esophagus. This is a condition of chronic inflammation in the esophagus, which can definitely lead to cancer. Leads to precancerous lesions and then to cancer. Once again, related to what we're eating and what we're drinking. Okay, what else can we do to prevent cancer? We can do exercise. 4 hours a week reduces your risk of cancer by 33%. That's better than any pill or vitamin that you can take. That's very, very powerful. And why does exercise reduce cancer? Because exercise activates what? The immune system. Exercise is a potent activator of the immune system. So that's why exercise helps prevent cancer. It decreases inflammation, it increases our immune system. Here you can see exercise in cancer reduces breast cancer up to 60%. Other cancers that are reduced by regular exercise, this is very interesting. This is death by cancer and fitness level. People who are highly fit have 65% less cancer than people who are low, who have low fitness. Can you see that? Low fitness, moderate fitness, high fitness. And you can see dramatic decrease in the chance of cancer in people who have a high fitness level. Physical exercise and breast cancer. Ladies who are very active physically and inactive have a much different incidence of breast cancer. This is 1.00 incidence, and this is 0.33 incidence of breast cancer in women who are physically active. Can you see that? 66% less. That's better than any vitamin or supplement that you can take. The use of water. Can water help prevent cancer? Yes, because water helps reduce what? Inflammation. Yeah, and it also helps to purify. Question, would anybody here take a shower with orange juice? Would anybody take a bath with Coca-Cola? Why not? Because juice and soda doesn't cleanse our what? Our body on the outside. Well, what makes us think that tea and soda would cleanse our organs on the inside? There's only one substance that cleanses your body on the inside, and it is water. Yes, it's very important that we get enough water. All right. Let's go here. This is interesting. Disease often comes as a result of accumulated toxins. If we're constantly bathing our tissues in pure water, these toxins will be flushed from the body. Pure air can impure air can definitely cause a higher incidence of disease, including cancer. So breathing pure air can be very good for us. Indoor air often has twice the amount of carcinogens as outdoor air. We're thinking of the people who live in downtown LA, right? They get all that junk in their lungs from the smog. This is a very interesting experiment. Are you indoors too much? A group of rats with cancer were allowed to breathe negatively charged outdoor air, while an equal number breathed common indoor air. After 1 month, the cancer in the rats breathing the indoor air was twice the size of the cancer in the rats breathing the negatively charged outdoor air. Amazing statistics. So the rats were put outside to get fresh air, and their tumors grew twice as they didn't grow as fast as the tumors of the rats that were indoors. Do you sometimes feel like a rat when you're inside your office? Or a cucaracha? I live in Northern California at 2,000 feet in a town of 1,500 people. Beautiful. The sun wakes us up. Fresh air, fresh water comes out of the ground. And I went with your pastor, with my brother-in-law, Sam, to Boston. And I remember Sam. And I remember telling Sam, I feel like a cucaracha in this city. You know, because the cars, the noise, the tunnels. There was no trees. It was all concrete. That can't be good for us. What do you say? God did not mean for us to live like rats. Oh, wow. This is a pretty dramatic photo here. This is a cross-section of brain tissue, and you see these black streaks? They're not supposed to be there. Dark stained patches show areas where nerve fibers have lost their protective sheath in a specimen of brain tissue removed from a deceased inhalant abuser. And here you can see that the toxins from the inhalants have destroyed the neuronal tissue in this young person's brain. Can sunlight protect us from cancer? Guess which is one of the most potent antioxidants known to man? Vitamin D. Now, how many of you have gone to the doctor and are deficient in vitamin D? All right, I see it all the time. I'd say half the people in my practice are a little bit or totally deficient in vitamin D. Why are we deficient in vitamin D? Where do we get vitamin D from? Like 80% of our vitamin D. It comes from the sun in the summertime. In the winter, we don't really get a lot of vitamin D. The sun has to hit what? Our skin. So, you know, vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin. You can store it. So what you need to do is get lots of vitamin D in the summer. Like the bears, you got to store it and use it all winter till the next summer. So if you don't get that, you're going to need to take supplements, because vitamin D is a potent, potent antioxidant to stimulate our immune system. Exposure to sunlight decreases mortality from cancer. Vitamin D is a potent inhibitor of cancer growth, protects against prostate, breast, and pancreas and colon cancer. Vitamin D deficiency increases colon tumor growth by 60%. And here you can see how vitamin D activates several aspects of the immune system. You can see there. It is a potent antioxidant. We really need to have vitamin D. We need to get that. And this is the place that we get vitamin D. All right? In the summertime, 20% of vitamin D comes from our food, 80% from the sun. So we should spend some time in the sun in the summertime, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., a duration of 15 minutes, and a frequency of 6 days per week. How many days per week should we get sun? 6 days per week in the summertime, all right? And we should wear a t-shirt and shorts. In other words, we should have as much skin exposed as possible. The problem is, in the winter, what? It's too cold. In the summer, it's too what? It's too hot to go outside, right? But we really need to go outside. We need to breathe in fresh air and get our vitamin D the way God intended us for us to get it. Now, adequate rest. Is sleep connected to cancer? Why? There's another super potent antioxidant that protects us from cancer that's only made when we're asleep. Can you name it? Melatonin. Vitamin D in the sun, potent anti-cancer, and melatonin, potent anti-cancer antioxidant. So here we have it. Melatonin is made in the pineal gland of the brain, and it's only made when we're asleep and in the dark. Sunlight inhibits the production of melatonin. And melatonin is an antioxidant hormone. Interesting. God made a hormone inside of us that would protect us from cancer that's only made when we're asleep in the dark. It's fascinating stuff. Very fascinating. So the production of melatonin peaks at about 3, 4 a.m. in the morning, okay? And then as soon as the sun comes out, guess what happens to our melatonin production? Now, we have to be asleep. Now, what happens if you work at night? Does that affect your melatonin? Big time. Big time. In fact, people who sleep during the day hardly produce melatonin. So guess what? People who work at night, do they have more cancer or less cancer? They have more cancer because they're not producing melatonin. It's just amazing. And here you can see that melatonin acts to stimulate. It's an antioxidant. It's blocking here several. It even inhibits aging. So it has potent effects. It is the rejuvenation hormone. All right. Light at night and melatonin. Melatonin is a protective anti-cancer hormone, a strong antioxidant. Constant night light suppresses melatonin and increases cancer cell growth. Evidence now links exposures to light at night to breast and colorectal cancer in night workers. So do you imagine people who live in big cities where there's a lot of light, you think they have more cancer or less cancer? I haven't seen a statistic like that, but I can guarantee you they have more cancer. Getting between 7 and 8 hours of sleep each night reduces the risk of dying from cancer and other diseases. Sleeping 6 hours or less or 9 hours or more increases the risk of dying by 70%. What does that mean? Don't sleep too little and don't sleep what? Too much.
If you sleep less than 6 hours, you're going to die earlier. If you sleep more than 9 hours a night, you're going to die earlier. Moderation. 7 to 8 hours is good. Don't sleep too little. Don't sleep too much. Don't disturb our sleep-wake cycle. Disruption of the circadian rhythms is associated with accelerated growth of malignant tumors. Wow. Ah, interesting. Weekly rest. Seventh-day Adventists have higher levels of immune-stimulating antioxidants. Wow. We have more antioxidant levels. Vegetarian Seventh-day Adventists have higher levels of immune-stimulating antioxidants. So this is amazing. Apparently, the weekly rest. You know, when God said that the Sabbath is blessed, is it the day that's blessed, or is it the people that keep the day that are blessed? When God says that the Sabbath was sanctified and made holy, is it the day that's holy, just the day, or is it the people who keep the day that become holy? God has many blessings that we don't even realize we're receiving. How many of you know who C.D. Brooks is? The great preacher, right? I always laugh when I hear his sermon when he says, I went to my high school reunion, he says, and if you think I look old, you should see my classmates. I don't know if you remember him saying that. And he said, and I got to looking at my classmates and wondering why they look so old, older than me. And I said, I've been keeping the Sabbath for 56 years. I have 8 years. No, he said, 8 years of rest that they don't have. But you know what? He's right. We have rest, a special rest, a blessed rest that other people don't have. Amen? Amen. Obedience leads to blessings. Disobedience leads to no blessing. Trust in God. Can trust in God, can faith protect us from cancer? Stress and depression increase cancer because they decrease the immune system's ability to fight and destroy cancer cells. There is no question. The incidence of cancer is much higher in people who are depressed or anxious. I see that all the time. Personality and stress and cancer. In a 10-year follow-up study in which personality, smoking, drinking, and other medical diseases were considered, people with greater stress from poor interpersonal skills, had a 40% higher death rate from cancer. Whoa. So, husbands, if you get angry with your wife, be careful. You might end up like, who's the husband of the, remember? The lady that David married because the husband got mad and he had a stroke and died. What was his name? Nabal. Remember? Abigail. So remember, he was mad and he didn't like David and then he got mad and then he died. See? He had poor interpersonal skills. Where's Wes? I remember Wes used to teach the people at the Wellness Center about that. There's some impressive statistics about anger and stroke and heart attack. Isn't that right? Yes. So not just cancer. Poor interpersonal skills can lead to death from stroke and heart attack because it increases the adrenaline and some of the other negative hormones in our body. Social ties and cancer. Socially isolated people are more likely to die of cancer. Wow. Loneliness kills. Yes. If you feel lonely. Now, if you have faith in God, you're never alone. Amen? No matter if you're by yourself, you don't feel alone. I got to tell you a story. Can I tell you a story? So we have a church member that, this is a true story. She goes to the jail every week to the ladies section and she does Bible studies. And her son is a prisoner, was a prisoner. This was before. He was a prisoner in jail. And one day she got news that her son had been beat in prison, almost to death. And she was very angry at God. She told us she was mad. Why isn't God protecting my son? I go to the jail and give Bible studies. How could God allow this to happen? But she decided to go to the jail that day anyway, even though she was discouraged. She gave the Bible studies and she felt good. You know, she had shared with the lady prisoners. And as she was driving home, she was still kind of angry with God about what had happened to her son. And she says, as she sat driving, the seatbelt indicator turned on the passenger side of the car. And she looked over and there's nobody sitting in the passenger side of the car, but the seatbelt sign went on. And she thought that was very strange. And she was driving, and something inside of her, she said out loud, Lord, is that you? And she began to feel that, you know, maybe her angel or somebody was with her. And she started to pour her heart out to God. And she was crying and she was praying. And then she said, as she was coming home, she says, Lord, if that's you, when the car hits the driveway, let that light turn off. She said, the minute her wheels hit the driveway, the light went off. Now, let me tell you, I don't know who was there in that chair, but I can tell you, we are never alone when we have faith in Jesus Christ. In the worst moments of our life, that non-isolation, that feeling to know that there's someone there for you, can help save your life. You know, I've seen the saddest thing sometimes is to see when atheists die. I know there's medical people here. You know, I've seen many people die. But when you see someone die and they don't know where they're going or where they come from, they die with stress and agony. I don't know. I don't know how else to explain it. You can see it in their face. But when a Christian believer dies, you can see the peace in their face. They rest and they're calm. You know, the family may be sad, but they know that they have hope. And that makes all the difference in the world. And we see that in the statistics. We see that in statistics. Happiness and health. A happy person has better physical health, increased longevity, fewer illnesses, and less pain. Wow. Joy. Spiritual health. Compared to people with poor spiritual health, those with good spiritual health have longer life expectancy, greater well-being and satisfaction, deal better with illness, have fewer hospitalizations, shorter hospital stays, have less anxiety and depression, and enjoy better immune system function. It pays to be spiritual. This is an amazing statistic. Live to give. Giving support to friends, relatives, and neighbors and one's spouse significantly reduces mortality. Receiving help does not help your mortality. You realize what that's saying? That's saying if you do volunteer work, that helps you live longer. But if you receive volunteer work, it doesn't help you live longer. What does the Bible say? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? You want to live a long time? Go be a missionary. You know, I really think that sometimes God puts people to sleep if they're misbehaving and causing trouble. Have you noticed that? You know, like drug dealers and stuff. Do you ever see them retire? They don't. They die early. It's almost so like God says, this child of mine, I love him, but he's causing trouble. I got to put him to rest. And then how many of you have ever met like missionaries that are like 90 years old or 100? And you wonder, you say, why does God allow these people to live so long? And you start to read, because they're useful. Because God says, this person is a useful person. They help other people. So I'm going to keep them alive. Amen. So let's be useful to God so he keeps us alive. Amen. I believe God gives us better health if we're useful. If we do his work. And when we don't do his work and we're on the devil's side, sometimes he puts us to sleep a little bit earlier. For the sake of the other people, you know. I want to give credit to Dr. Neil Nedley. A lot of this information came from his book and also from a friend of mine named Clark. A lot of this information came from some health talks of John Clark, a graduate of Loma Linda University. So that's the talk on preventing cancer. Does anybody have any questions?